Welcome back to another episode of the Lambeau Lead. Last night, the Packers went down to Chicago into Soldier Field and beat the rival Chicago Bears in their 199th contest, 10-3. Aaron Rodgers throwing one touchdown pass, the Packers picking up Mitch Trubisky one time. That sealed the deal for this greatest rivalry in NFL history, or at least the most historic. And what a way to start the season for the Packers. They shine in some aspects, and they played poorly in others. But all that matters is the Packers got a W in that win column because, hey, a win is a win. I'm here with Greg Williams and Kyle Hoffenbecker. Guys, what were your takeaways overall from last night?
Not the Packers, not great defensive performance. The offense, okay, yeah, not many of the starters played. But, again, they played a really good defense. I'm not as worried. We'll probably go more into it as the episode goes on, but I was just really, really impressed with this defense, and I'm looking forward to it.
Same here. Defense exceeded my expectations last night. I was thinking they were going to come in and, you know, give up 17 and 24 points, and, you know, the offense would have to put up obviously more than that to get a win. Putting up three, I mean, you're facing Mitch Trubisky, who is the worst quarterback in the division. But still, giving up 3 points in the NFL is very hard to do, and I will take this performance any day of the week. Offense was lackluster. I mean, it had a couple drives where it seemed to get things going, but yeah, I'm happy with the win from last night.
Yeah, and the Packers' offense absolutely was lackluster last night. Well, at least in the first quarter. With the first three drives, they did not score they went three and out. The first three drives, they had negative 12 yards, I think, in the first quarter altogether. And it was the worst performance by the Packers offense, I believe, in the single quarter since 1994. So it was definitely not something to write home about, and was a little, I would say, embarrassing for what the Packers wanted to do. And do you guys believe Aaron Rodgers should have played the preseason? Would that made a difference?
I don't know, because here's the thing. If he has that the back issue, you don't want to push him out there. You want him to be healthy for the season, especially for this game. And then that field in Oakland, that's also tough as well. You don't want to put him out there to get hurt. So it's a little bit of a tough situation for the Packers. People could say, oh, the first quarter was maybe his warm-up. But still, I don't know. It's a tough situation for the Packers, what they were in the preseason.
I mean, I'm back and forth on this one. I can see both sides to this. Yeah, he maybe should have played in the preseason to get, I mean, the timing. Obviously, he's gone on record multiple times saying that preseason does not matter to him, does not matter to the way his success is during the season. But, I mean, you look at some of his throws he didn't make last night, and he just seemed off. I mean, wide open, I mean, not wide open receivers, but he had Davante Adams a couple times. He had Marquez Valdes-Scantlin a couple times, and he just flat out missed them. That all comes down to timing, and the only way you can improve on that is through practice and by playing in the preseason. But like Greg just said, you get injured in the preseason, your season's over. If you don't have Aaron Rodgers out on the field, the Green Bay Packers aren't going anywhere. So I see both sides. Ultimately, I do think that not playing in the preseason had some effect, but you know, only time will tell, I guess.
People could say as much as they want that Aaron Rodgers, it was fine not playing in the preseason. I think he should have just a little bit, and not for the reasons that people might think. People would traditionally think that Aaron Rodgers should play in the preseason so he's not rusty. I don't think that was the issue. What I think the issue was the experience of Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers coming together and trying to work things out. The offense was rusty. Matt LaFleur was rusty. Aaron Rodgers was rusty. I think it was a combination of things. And being in the preseason, if they got those real live reps, that would have made a difference. But on the other hand, you're playing against the other team's second or third stringers. It's not always going to be the first defense you're facing. So who knows? And again, you're right. If you get hurt, Aaron Rodgers is done for the season. You're screwed. There goes your season. And I think it's just a hard situation. It could have gone either way. And you know what? Maybe the Packers did make the right decision there.
Also, well, I want to be a little...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I want to be a little optimistic on this because look at the Bears last year. Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky, their first time. They had a good first half, but they got in the second half, and just the offense couldn't get working. But as the season went on, the offense got a little better. I think that's one thing for Packer fans, that take it easy. Let's relax. Let's see how many weeks this is going to take. Because even I think in week two against the Vikings, another good defense, we might see a little bit of struggles there. But hopefully, I mean, not as bad as they did against the Bears.
And you're also playing the best defense in the NFL in week one. That certainly didn't help with the offense at all. They're going to be playing Minnesota next week, whose defense is really good too. Not as good as Chicago's. So hopefully they figure out these mistakes and come out firing week two. But, I mean, putting up 10 points in a win against one of the league's best defenses, I'm not complaining about what happened last night at all.
And Kyle, you're talking about the Chicago Bears defense. When they got guys like Eddie Jackson, they had guys like Adrian Amos on their team. But what I really want to focus on here is Khalil Mack. And Aaron Rodgers was sacked 5 times last night for a loss of 37 total yards. Mitch Trubisky was sacked last night, 5 times for 20 total yards. So Aaron Rodgers was sacked for almost double what Mitch Trubisky was. And a lot of that has to do with Khalil Mack. And I do have to say, it might be obvious compared to the first time they played, Khalil Mack was handled better because he didn't have a pick six and a strip sack. But I thought the Packers handled Khalil Mack a lot better last night than I thought they were going to.
Yeah, they did. I mean, he got no sacks. I mean, if Mack does really not much of an impact, yeah, it kind of looks good. I mean, Bakhtiari and Bulaga just had a phenomenal game. But again, the Bears defense is so talented. We have like players like Leonard Floyd, Akeem Hicks. They're going to make impact plays. But you know, as long as Khalil Mack stays a little silent, you can see this offense maybe get something going. And we saw them on that one drive when they scored the touchdown. I mean, things started to click a little bit. They got into a rhythm. And if you stop Khalil Mack, that's one thing you can do with that rhythm.
I saw a lot of similarity from the Packers, that one drive where they scored a touchdown, and the second half of week one last year. They ran up-tempo offense. The Bears couldn't substitute. There's a lot of similarity in how successful they were in that one drive and in that second half against Chicago last year when Aaron Rodgers came back, and obviously we all know how that happened. I think running the up-tempo offense and running quick, short passes, I know a couple of those passes in that drive were fairly long, but running that up-tempo, very quick, you know, dink and dunk, West Coast-style offense is how you beat this Chicago Bears defense. And going back to how Khalil Mack didn't have any sacks, he might not have had any sacks, but Leonard Floyd had 2. A guy by the name of Roy Robertson-Harris, who I had no idea who this dude was until last night, had a sack. Akeem Hicks and Aaron Lynch. So if Mack isn't making those plays, he's taking up 2-3 defenders at a time, and someone else is going to make those plays. So it's all about containing, doing your best to contain everybody, but ultimately it's not going to happen. But you saw the success with the up-tempo offense, and I think that's what the Packers need to focus on when they play teams with good front sevens and when they end up playing Chicago again later in the year.
And one guy who had as many tackles as Khalil Mack did was former Packer HaHa Clinton Dix. They both had 5. And so it was fun watching HaHa get beat by the Packers receivers. It wasn't fun watching HaHa strip Aaron Rodgers on that little run there. But it just puts things into perspective. And I think the Packers did do a great job last night of stopping Khalil Mack. But like Kyle, like you just mentioned, the Bears have several guys who can get after the quarterback. And the only way the Packers are going to keep Aaron healthy is if their offensive line can continue to hold off defenses like the Bears. I'm not even going to say that the offensive line held off the Bears last night because Aaron Rodgers was sacked 5 times. But is the Packers offense kind of in trouble for the foreseeable future? Are we too thin there? Because it looked like at times Lane Taylor couldn't hold his own, and it really hurt the Packers.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, you have one of the best guards tackles in Bakhtiari. I think they'll find a way to fix it a little bit. But yeah, with Lane Taylor, it'll be interesting if they get Jenkins in there. See, just mix things up, maybe just a better unit. But we'll see. Again, this is one of the best defenses in the league, especially with the front seven, who has a lot of depth. it's kind of I don't want to like pull the trigger and say, hey, we need to revamp this whole offensive line or make some big changes. But we'll see against Minnesota, another good defense, and then as the season goes on. But yeah, Lane Taylor, I saw him get bull rushed a couple times, just got thrown around. I'll be interested to see what LaFleur does with Jenkins in next week or throughout the season.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Jenkins in against Minnesota. I wouldn't necessarily say he's going to start, but I wouldn't be surprised if we did see him. Using more of a rotation with your offensive line might be an idea. Maybe keeping Danny Vitale in on more snaps as a chip block. But one thing I was really curious about was there was a play early in the game. Jimmy Graham was blocking Khalil Mack. I don't know how you let that happen. Jimmy Graham is one of the worst blocking tight ends in the league. One of the best receiving tight ends in the league. Not a good blocker at all. I don't know if that was by accident. I don't know if that was just Graham improvising because he saw Khalil Mack coming and he knew he had to do something. But Jimmy Graham should not be blocking Khalil Mack or really anybody, any superior edge rusher in the league. That's why we have somebody like Mercedes Lewis who can do that. So I feel like they should do a lot more. I didn't see a lot of chipping action going on. I didn't see Jamal Williams or Danny Vitale do anything like that much last night. I might have missed it, but I feel like they should implement that more. But, you know, we'll see.
So the Packers this past offseason, they brought in Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Adrian Amos for the three key defensive free agents there. Obviously, Preston Za'Darius Smith made some impact plays last night, but Adrian Amos came up with probably the most crucial moment of the game with the interception off of Mitch Trubisky. So do you guys think the Packers waited too long to kind of pursue these free agents on defense? Because they did bring in Julius Peppers. Ted Thompson did bring him in a few years ago. But last night showed that spending the big bucks on free agents like that can really not only elevate your defense, but it'll turn the game around itself. Because A, experience, B, athleticism, and you know what you're getting in a free agent. When you draft a rookie like a Rashawn Gary, you don't always know how they're going to develop. When you see guys in the past, you have a great idea of how they're going to perform on your team. So did the Packers wait too long to dip into free agency for this?
I think all of us could say, yeah, they did. But I'm going to say this is probably the perfect free agency to spend that money. Because those guys that you just mentioned with Amos and the Smiths, those guys are under age of 26. They got that veteran experience. They make the impactful plays. I mean, they got their guys. Yeah, we always, Packer fans, we're always telling them, spend your money, and they never did. But this was the offseason to do it. I'm very happy they did it. And, well, it really helped out in week one.
Yeah, I mean, Greg hit the nail on the head. I clamored for free agency spending for years. But there's a reason why, and I've said this before on the podcast, there's a reason why I'm on this podcast and I'm not in the Packers front office, because I don't know what's going on half the time. I mean, I've said it many times, and I'll stand by it. Ted Thompson had a plan, and his plan was to draft and develop the young guys. And a lot of times he was right. He drafted guys like Davante Adams. He drafted guys like David Bakhtiari. And look at where they are now. But, you know, he's also drafted guys like I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know for a fact he's drafted
Dayton Jones.
Dayton, thank you. I was Dayton Jones. I mean, even Nick Perry. You could even argue Nick Perry. I mean, he had a couple good years, but what has he done outside of those one or two years?
Free agent.
This was still a free agent. This was the right time to do it. You want to get those top guys, but you also want to keep in mind you don't want to get these top guys who are in their 30s and their primes are behind them. You want to get them before they're in their prime so that you have them in their prime. And save money doing so.
Yeah, I agree. And so, yeah, I think it was like Greg, that was a good point. This is probably the right year to do it because it's a switchover from a head coach. You have a second year defensive coordinator who is pretty good, and you have holes to fill. I mean, Brian Gutekunst came in and just completely wiped the board clean, took 27 of the previous 52 guys off that roster. And there's hardly any guys left from the Ted Thompson era, I guess, on defense at least. So this is just a brand new era in Green Bay, I think. I mean, it's not quite closed because Mark Murphy's still there. Aaron Rodgers is still there. But I think once those two are gone, it's going to be different.
Okay. Yeah. And also, I mean, you have to think, too, like they drafted pretty well. I mean, especially for this this year. I mean, Darnell Savage, I mean, he made a huge impactful – he had a huge impactful game yesterday.
He's going to be really, really good.
Oh, I love him. I wish someone can pay for him to switch his number to 21. But I guess that's a discussion for another day.
I know. Why not?
And then Rashawn Gary – not. He didn't play as much yesterday, but I feel like he'll be a development piece, especially if you're behind the Smiths. It might get hard to get in, but I think the potential is there for him, and that could be a notable pick for the Packers maybe in a couple years.
One notable pick I want to talk about before we get too lost is the beautiful pick in the fifth round a couple years back of J.K. Scott. This dude put the team on his back last night, or the team on his foot. I mean, I'm not joking. This dude so far is the MVP of the Green Bay Packers this season. He had
100%.
Nine punts, 428 yards of total net punting yards, 47.6 average, and the last punt that I remember was like a 63-yarder that Tariq Cohen couldn't even return, and they pinned the Bears back, and ultimately the Packers ended up forcing a turnover on downs to end the game. This dude was key the whole night. In years past, we've seen horrible special teams by the Packers. Last year, we were the worst special teams unit in the league. And Sean Menenga comes in, totally turns this team around. I mean, Tariq Cohen was almost useless in kick and punt return kicking punt returns last night. So part of that has to do with J.K. Scott's beautiful foot. But, I mean, I just wanted to get his name in before we start talking about anybody else, because J.K. Scott is my favorite player on the team right now.
I mean, hey, if any time you get on Pat McAfee's Twitter, you're doing something right.
Yeah, for the brand.
Yeah. I mean, the 63-yard punt, when I first watched it live, I didn't realize how big of a punt it was. But going back and watching the replay several times, I mean, when you say a 63-yard punt, the average NFL fan is going to think, oh, like he punted it 40 yards and then it rolled extra 20, right? No. J.K. Scott literally booted it so high and so far that, gosh, I can't remember who the Saints punt returner was at the time. It's rolling off the top of my head there. But he had to run backwards like 15 yards to catch that. And it was a solid 63 yards. Unbelievable. I mean, you're totally right, Kyle. That was a great point. It's a great pick for the Packers, and I love it. I almost look forward to fourth downs now, as sad as that is.
I won't look forward to fourth downs, but when we do have to punt, I will firmly put all my trust in J.K. Scott.
See, one of these games, though, if he pulls off a fake, oh, my God, Packers Twitter is going to blow up then.
He's a living legend. Aaron Nagler and Corey Behnke are two of his biggest supporters, and watching them just go ecstatic over a freaking punt on their watch party last night was just, those guys are amazing. I mean, J.K. Scott's amazing. So,
and it's almost to the point the Packers are going to resurrect a statue of J.K. Scott outside of Lambeau Field.
They need to retire his number now.
But in all seriousness, I mean, the guy's a game changer. He's exactly what you wanted from a punter, obviously more than that. He's super young, great guy, and he's a field flipper. He's the guy who's going to bring an impact on special teams like Mason Crosby did a few years ago. It's almost like Mason, or that J.K. Scott is so important that you know when you have a fourth down situation, you don't necessarily need to go for it because you're so confident that J.K. Scott can flip that field for you that it just takes a whole new perspective into game planning, honestly. All righty. So the Packers offense last night looked shaky, and that includes their running game. That was something I was kind of surprised about, kind of not, because the Bears front seven. So Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Do you think they should have brought up Dexter Williams? Because Dexter Williams, the running back out of Notre Dame, he was on the healthy inactives list last night. So do you think Dexter Williams should get a shot there? Because Aaron Jones looked decent. Jamal Williams looked okay.
I don't know if – oh, sorry. I don't want to –
No, yeah, you go.
I don't know if Dexter Williams would have been that much of a difference. The Bears knew the Packers were going to run the ball. LaFleur has said it all offseason. We're emphasizing the run game. We come out. It was first two plays of the game were runs. I mean, third down incompletion. There were so many run plays that we attempted in the game. The Bears knew what LaFleur was going to do. So they stacked the box and they stopped the run game and they forced Rodgers to throw. That's how I think you're going to beat the Packers is you're going to have to stop them on the run and force Rodgers to throw. And I mean, it almost worked last night. If it wasn't for a fantastic drive from Rodgers, we could be sitting here talking about a loss. But, the run game does need to improve. But I think the reason why they struggled so much is because the Bears over-prepared for the run game because they knew that that LaFleur wants to run the ball. So I don't know if Dexter – so to go back to the original question, sorry, I went off on a tangent. I don't know if Dexter Williams would have been that much of a difference because – I mean, the Bears' game plan for running the ball.
Yeah, Kyle's pretty much spot on, too, and I got to agree. Dexter, I don't think – I liked him at Notre Dame. I thought it was a good pick, but, yeah, I don't think he would have made much of a difference for the Packers running the ball. Especially, yeah, one of the best defenses, good front seven. Yeah, I just don't think he would have made that much of an impact.
Okay, so going from the Mike McCarthy era to the Matt LaFleur era, obviously Mike McCarthy will spread it out. Run and gun, vertical offense, where Matt LaFleur is a little bit different. He likes to mix it up, a lot of moving pieces. What was the main difference for you guys that you saw last night? I saw a lot of moving pieces, a lot of sweeps, a lot of check downs, just different ways Aaron Rodgers can move the ball. But it was Matt LaFleur's first game as a head coach, and a head coach that's a play caller. Obviously, he had Aaron Rodgers at his disposal, so Matt LaFleur is definitely lucky that his first head coaching gig came with Aaron Rodgers. What do you guys expect out of Matt LaFleur against the Minnesota Vikings?
I don't know. I mean, I would know pretty much like Kyle said. I mean, you got to establish the run game somehow because that's going to open up a ton of the passing for Rodgers and maybe take a little load off of Rodgers too because – now, again, Vikings really good defense. You don't want to get into another game like you just had with the Bears because it's not promising. I mean, it'll be looking really good for the defense, but the offense really has to get something going. And with the offense yesterday, I thought it was unpredictable for once. With McCarthy, you kind of expected what was going to happen. With LaFleur, I was for once like, oh, I was not expecting that from this offense.
To answer your first part of your question, what did I see a lot of last night? I saw a lot of play action. I saw a lot of successful play action. We've seen Rodgers be very successful in play action over the years, but for some reason, the play action, I mean, the passes or the routes, the different route combinations seemed fresher to me, and it wasn't just like a play action pass where Jordy Nelson or Devontae Adams runs a 30-yard post and throw. Rodgers throws it deep for a touchdown. It's different. It's shorter routes. It's more pre-snap motion. It's like you said, jet sweeps, motion sweeps. I like it. I've been a big proponent of the pre-snap motions and the jet sweeps. I didn't see many jet sweeps work last night, but just to see it and know that it's in LaFleur's scheme makes me feel a whole lot better about this offense.
So it was a great Packers victory. Week one, huge win. It really kind of tips the scale of the division because nobody thought the Packers were going to win last night, at least not the analysts, the quote-unquote analysts. They all chose the Bears. So looking forward to next week, the Packers play the Minnesota Vikings at home. And obviously the Vikings have not even played a game yet. So the Packers have about a week and a half here. But what we can expect from them is a decent quarterback in Kirk Cousins, probably a little bit under the Mitch Trubisky, two solid wide receivers, not just a one Allen Robinson, and Allen Robinson was great last night, by the way, for the Bears. But you have another great defense, probably not as good as the Bears. Who knows how the Vikings kicker is going to be, but this is going to be another huge game, but it's at home. The Packers already have the advantage because they have a week and a half of rest. They already have game film to study. So what do you guys expect moving forward here for the Packers against the Vikings?
Now, one big thing I took away from the Bears is no one really got hurt. I think Valdez-Scantling was maybe the major injury where he had cramps, which I think if you come out of any game, especially in a divisional game, healthy, that is big because we don't know what the Vikings are going to do because Stephon Diggs is hurt. Their cornerback, Miles Hughes, is also hurt. He's actually ruled out already for the Vikings for Atlanta. And whatever Atlanta does to Minnesota, because if Atlanta can pick apart the Vikings' defense, maybe there's some optimism for the Packers. Like, hey, maybe we can do the same thing what the Vikings are, or what the Falcons are doing. But I like that it's at home too. It's gonna be a huge divisional game for the Packers. And no, hey, get the Packer fans going because hey, Matt LaFleur's first home game. I'm pretty sure Packer fans are gonna be absolutely going nuts once they start scoring touchdowns.
I think one thing we're not going to see in this game next Sunday is a tie. That's just one thing I'm going to say. We're not going to see a tie. If we do, I don't know what's going to happen, but we're not going to see a tie. But I am going to keep my eye on that Falcons-Vikings game really closely because we know that LaFleur came from that Shanahan kind of coaching, somewhat of a coaching tree. Can't really call it one yet, but the Falcons are running a similar offense to what the Packers are going to run. So you're going to see kind of an idea of how successful or unsuccessful a Falcons offense will be against the Vikings defense. The Falcons and Packers offenses are very similar. Both great quarterbacks. Both have a really great wide receiver. Both have a decent run game with, some of the best running backs in the league in Devontae Freeman and in Aaron Jones. There's a lot of great similarities. So keeping an eye on that Falcons offense is going to be huge. And it's not going to say, obviously, whether or not if the Packers are going to be successful or not, but it's going to give you a good idea because they both similar schemes. You're facing the same team, but it's a very important game. I think it's almost as important, if not more important than last night's game. Like Greg said, LaFleur's first home game, the fans are going to be riled up. If the fans aren't happy with what they see, they're gonna do it like what Chicago Bears fans did last night, and they're gonna boo because Packers fans are very vocal and very loyal about their team. So I'm excited. I'm excited to watch, but obviously we still have a whole week to go. So,
and one thing I'm interested too is the secondary because they're facing a lot better receivers. They're gonna face Thielen, Diggs, and Rudolph, and I think that's really their big three, but I'm gonna be looking at the secondary, how they prepare for that. Because let's be honest, the Bears wide receiver trio isn't that good nonetheless, but they're gonna be facing a lot more talented offense.
Alrighty, I don't want to make predictions too early because we haven't even seen the Vikings play a game yet. So I'm gonna hold that for another time. Kyle, Greg, always a pleasure having you guys on. This Packers team, it's optimistic going forward. The offense can't necessarily get worse from what they showed in the first quarter against the Bears. Going forward, they can only improve. This defense is something to write home about. And as long as J.K. Scott and Mason Crosby keep knocking the ball out of the park there, so to speak, I think the Packers will be in good hands already. So this is it's been a heck of a night last night. So, guys, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. And for all of you who are listening, go subscribe to us on iTunes. SoundCloud. I'm trying to think of all the podcasting platforms we're on because we're on so many. We're on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, CastBox. Go find us anywhere you listen to your podcast. Appreciate it. Go follow us on Twitter at Cream City Central. Kyle, Greg, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.